Galatians 4 and Genesis chapter 16, just for example, tonight to start with. We'll look at many places. The Bible is a book of warfare. Literally, from cover to cover, the Bible is a book of warfare. Now, the Lord did not start off that way. You might want to make a note that Psalms 120 says, he says in Psalm 120, "My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." And God Himself never set out to have to wage war with anybody, and if the creatures He created had kept peace with Him, there'd be no war. James tells you where war comes from on the earth. Comes from within the heart of man, within the heart of every being. And so salvation gets you into a warfare. You literally get born, birthed again into a warfare. And someone says, "Boy, if only I'd known." I don't care. Why, you going to tell me you'd rather go to hell than be in a warfare? I don't think so. And some of that's the most foolish stuff you've ever heard in your life. Somebody's like, they regret getting saved because now it's a warfare. How stupid. People are born into warfare all over the world and have been for 4,000, 6,000 years. You know, there are people who are born in parts of the world and they're born into warfare. Period. It's a part of their life. It's a part of their country. It's a part of the people they're around. That's just life. If you're not careful because you're part of the pampered, spoiled generation here in America, you'll forget that this is a part of life until you get to heaven. Warfare is a fact of life. And this warfare, this animosity, is a constant thing. It is absolutely constant. In Galatians chapter 4, I want you to look at the text, and we'll talk about the context of something. And we're going to talk about victory in Jesus over certain things. And tonight, we're going to talk about victory in Jesus over this. Look at Galatians chapter 4, and let's pick it up around verse 23. "But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh." And this is speaking of Abraham, so we know that person's name. Let's pick it up verse 22. "It is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid." What was his name? Ishmael. "The other by a free woman." His name was Isaac. Y'all hollered out. "But he who was of the bondwoman, Ishmael, was born," mark this phrase, "after the flesh." Do you remember seeing that verse in the epistles? Yeah. That's a significant phrase, "after the flesh." Paul uses this thing. So he is going to give you, as he says in verse 24, this allegory about after the flesh and after the promise, or after the Spirit. He said these things are an allegory, verse 24, "for these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which generous to bondage," which is Agar, New Testament spelling, pronunciation for Hagar, his mother, the Egyptian. "For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children." But Jerusalem, which is where? Above. Is what? Free. Mark this phrase. Which is the what? How about that? You're going to have to get a hold of that in a minute and get a picture in your mind, and it'll help you with your Christian life. "For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born," mark it, "after the flesh," and then note this word, "persecuted." Persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is when? Now. And I'm going to preach to you on victory in Jesus over the persecutor. Victory in Jesus over the persecutor. Read verse 30 with me. "Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." To persecute is to harass, to afflict, especially, dictionary definition says, especially about worship, and do it contrary to the law. Romans 8 verse 7 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The Bible describes your flesh as a persecutor. You live with a persecutor. If you walk in the flesh, you will be what? Persecuted. By whom? By yourself. You get hold of this and it'll help you understand a whole lot of trouble that Christians have. You live with a persecutor inside you, persecuting you. And when someone else does something, they're going to do it after the flesh, and the persecutor in them will persecute the Christian. Now mark this down. Persecution is a believer's experience in both testaments. From testament to testament, the believer's experience is persecution. Why on earth people would think that you can avoid it, I don't know. Job said, "Why do ye persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh?" In Job 19, verse 22. David writes over and over, he said in Psalm 119 that they persecuted him without a cause. Psalm 119, 161. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ told them, taught them, prepared them, warned them? He said, "You're going to be persecuted." The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:10, "Blessed are ye when you're persecuted," mark this, "for righteousness' sake." The persecutor inside you will never let you get away with doing right. That's why Bob Jones Sr. said, "You'll never do right and get away with it." There'll always be some resistance. He wrote in Romans, he said, "I find then a law that when I would do good, what? Evil is present with me." We got to have victory in Jesus, but in this case, we're going to talk about over the persecutor. When Paul was Saul of Tarsus and was walking after the flesh, the Bible tells you in numerous places, Acts 22, Acts 26, 1 Corinthians 15, look in this very book of the Bible you're in tonight, Galatians chapter 1, Paul said he was a what? He was a persecutor. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Verse 13, he said, "Ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Verse 23, "They had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed." He understood this persecutor. He'd been one. Persecution is, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Persecution is the experience of a believer in both testaments. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 11 he says, "Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer," what? Persecution. If you live right, and if you do right, you will get persecuted. Right where you're at. And if you will understand that that's the role of the old nature, that that's the nature of the old nature, back in Galatians chapter 4, if you'll mark that down, he says the same thing, the same way, we're going to talk about this tonight, the same way that Ishmael persecuted Isaac, your old nature will persecute who you are, your new nature. He'll persecute you. Now, Paul was a persecutor, and our subject, you know, is victory over the persecutor. Ishmael and Isaac, get some of this. Even if you don't write it down, get it in your heart. I hope you get some of it down so you can review it. But listen, even if you just get it in your mind, listen, Ishmael and Isaac had the same father, but they had different mothers. Okay? Now, God made Adam. Right? In that sense, God's his father, isn't he? Right? And all of us come from Adam, and who is the mother of all living? Somebody help me, so I know you're with me. Eve. So Eve is the mother of all living in what sense? flesh and bone, flesh and blood. Right? So Ishmael and Isaac had the same father, but they had two different mothers. In the passage I just read, you look at verse 26 in Galatians chapter 4, who does he say is our mother? New Jerusalem. You get the picture? Aren't we born again of the Word of God? Amen? You see, the whole picture is this, is God did make man, and God did make you. But if you've only got one birth, you got the wrong mama. Okay? You're born of the wrong woman. Born once, die what?
Twice.
Born twice, die once. You see, Ishmael and Isaac, the picture is so powerful for us here. They had the same daddy, but they had two different mothers. It was Ishmael's, listen, Egyptian mother that made him of the what? Egypt's type of? The world. He was of the world. He was earthy, 1 Corinthians 15 would say. So you can have an earthy birth, a water birth, John 3, but you've got to have a spirit birth. So these boys, they had the same father, but they had different mothers, and that made all the difference. Ishmael, under Hagar's thinking, mocked Isaac. Look at Genesis and chapter 16 with me. It's this whole trouble, of course, starts in Genesis 16 when Sarai gives, kind of hounds Abraham, you might say, Abram, and it's still his fault for giving in. I understand that. But as soon as Hagar conceived, what became apparent is this. When Hagar conceived, it became apparent that the only one who couldn't give life at this stage was Sarai. It solved the problem that it wasn't Abraham, and it wasn't Hagar. It was Sarai. And because of that, look at chapter 16, verse 4. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. You know why? The flesh is full of self. As if by her own power she had the ability within her. You get me? That's that earthly, that sensual, devilish wisdom. And so this conflict started with the fact that Hagar was able to just accomplish, ready for this, an earthly physical function. It was not a spiritual thing for her to conceive. It was just an earthly spiritual function. You come on over a few chapters. Ishmael's born. But then what happens is, after a period of time, we find that in chapter 21, Isaac is born. Isaac is born in chapter 21, verse 8. It says of him, the child grew, was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham. Mark it. Mocking. Mocking. Ishmael, under Hagar's thinking, mocked Isaac. You see, for you and I to be supernaturally born, as Isaac was a child of promise. Isaac was born out of impossible circumstances. Isaac was born in a manner that only God could have made it happen. And for you and I to be spiritually born is to encounter the envy, the Bible says, and the lust of Ishmael the flesh. That thing in us is against the new creature that we are in Christ. That thing that's in us hates the fact that now there's a new nature inside you, there's a new you, there's a real you that is not of the flesh, and it hates that thing. It mocks that thing. And it mocks it on the grounds of Egyptian thinking, of the worldly thinking. The Bible tells you in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45 and 48, that there's a first Adam that's earthly, and there's a earthy, and there's a second Adam from heaven, also called the last Adam in that passage. And if you walk in the Spirit, it will be to get persecuted by the old nature. If you get this, you're going to be armed with the great truth. You have a persecutor. He does this. He'll persecute you to you. He'll persecute others through you, and he'll persecute you through others. But it's of the flesh he's doing it all. And it's important to get hold of the fact that
yeah, the devil stirs it up and he's part of it, but it's the flesh nature. He is a persecutor. So you have to get victory on that level. David said in Psalm 51:5, he said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." I'll bet his mother, she wasn't alive probably by the time he wrote it. I bet she would have just loved him putting that one in. What did he mean? It didn't mean she'd gone out and done something wrong. It meant what? Sin nature. He had the wrong mother. He had to get touched by God's Spirit. He had to get the Spirit on him. In other words, you and I, that earthly, physical, fleshy birth ain't enough for nothing. But it is what we started with. It's how we got started. And there is within us that Ishmael that was born first. That's us. Now Hagar and Ishmael mocked. The persecutor mocks humility. He mocks humility. The persecutor mocks holiness. The persecutor mocks hallowedness. The persecutor mocks harmlessness. Do you know the Bible tells you and I to be harmless? And do you know what's as harmless as anything on the face of the earth is a sheep? They're as harmless as can be. But the persecutor mocks that. All things that the new nature practices, loves, and embraces are mocked by the Egyptian and her son. Do you know that Americans are not noted for humility worldwide? I'm going to tell you right now. That ain't funny. I mean, I understand it might be humorous, but it ain't funny. The earmarks of American is so anti-God that he says it's an abomination in Proverbs 6. Proud to be an American! You better watch it. I understand what it's supposed to mean, but that ain't what it's come to mean. You better watch it. You better be proud to be a Christian. I'm going to tell you right now, I have been in 15 countries and they hate Americans, a lot of them, not because we're successful, because they're a bunch of arrogant idiots when they go over there. I sat on a bus in 1982 in Sydney, Australia, and I'm sitting in the back watching everybody, and somebody, this guy gets on, and it wasn't 5 seconds, I said, "The next guy got to be an American." I was like, "Dear Lord, no wonder they think we're idiots." Because they're so stinking proud, and they think that that's some kind of... Let me tell you, that has never been a mark of a Christian. God hates pride. And that old nature is full of pride. You know how you get people to stand and wave flags and scream and holler and do all that? Anybody can do that with pride. Doesn't take nothing at all to do it. All right, Genesis 21:9. Get with me for a few minutes. By way of introduction, for a couple hours. Isaac is weaned and there's a celebration and here's him mocking. I want to give you some ways in which Ishmael would have mocked Isaac, and it's the way that the old nature and the world will mock you. Number one, he would have mocked Isaac for looking like a purebred Jew and not a mixed breed with Egyptian features. Hallelujah. Here's this Ishmaelite, Ishmael himself, born of an Egyptian woman. He's got half Egypt. He's got half the father. Listen, the Bible did say you're in the image after likeness, but then we fell and we're marred. And people act like, "Oh, well, we're too much like God." No, you're too much like Egypt. Too much like Eve, who went and ate of that stinking tree, and Adam followed her because he loved her and died. We need to get back down to reality. He would have mocked him for looking like a purebred Jew and not a mixed breed with Egyptian features, colors, etc. You say, "What is the application, preacher?" I'll tell you what. The persecutor nature will mock you when you are clean and pure and innocent and you've got another world appearance to you. That persecutor nature will mock that. When you go somewhere and you look different and smell different and act different and talk different, you're going to get mocked, amen. And your own flesh will mock you for it. Here's how it works. Ready? The Ishmael in them mocks you. And the Ishmael in you doubles it. And makes you feel what word? Somebody, give me some words. What do you feel when somebody does that? When you think you're out of place and blah, blah, blah. Embarrassed, huh? Yeah, you blush, you get embarrassed. Because you know what you got? You got Ishmael mocking you. Isaac had every reason actually to be not ashamed. Isaac is a purebred Hebrew. Isaac is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Ishmael's a forerunner of the Antichrist. You got to make up your mind which one you're going to be glad to be hooked up with. I'm trying to give you some courage here. Listen. He would have mocked him for looking like a purebred Jew. He would have mocked him for being a shepherd and a carer of sheep and life because Ishmael, get this, look at chapter 21 and verse 20. And God was with the lad and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became what? An archer. You ever seen this? Right here with two fingers? You know what that's from? That's from our buddy Nimrod. Because that's how you hold your fingers when you're an archer. And he said, take the shield of faith wherewith you may be able to quench all the... How about that? Fiery darts. Oh no, this is a dead book, ain't it? Well, this ain't no dead book. We got a bunch of dead heads, but this ain't no dead book. He's an archer. You know what an archer does? He goes around and hunts. You know what a shepherd does? He raises his food. He cares for his food. He takes care of life. I grew up with horses, I grew up with cattle and stuff, but I'm going to tell you something. When God saved me, when He saved my dad and my brother, He took us from being cowboys to being sheep herders. And you deal with them differently. Now you still got to use that rod on them, you still got to use the staff on them, and you still employ the sheep dogs, but I'm telling you, He would have made fun of him for being... Do you know what it says when they went down into Egypt? He said, a what is an abomination to the Egyptian? A shepherd. Amen. Number three. He mocked him for looking like a purebred Jew. Listen, you'll be mocked. The closer you look like a real Christian, the more you're going to get mocked. Even by yourself some. Aren't you embarrassed? No, I'm not embarrassed at all to look like that. I'm not embarrassed not to sing their songs. I'm not embarrassed not to salute their gods. I'm not embarrassed not to be like them at all. I'm embarrassed that I ever was in any way, shape, or form like them. But that was my Ishmael. And thank God I got saved, amen. Thank God I'm a child of promise. Thank God I'm a purebred Christian, hallelujah. I am born again, amen. And you ain't going to change that, even if you don't like it. Number three, being sheltered, protected, loved, and cared for. Because it says of Ishmael that he would be a what? A wild man. Do you know that when he told her to go back and submit, he said this, and he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Let me tell you something, us Bible-believing preachers don't go around picking fights. We don't. We don't have to, because the Ishmaelites are the ones picking the fight, amen. Yep. Now, I'm like the general said. He said, our enemy has chosen war as a remedy, and I say, let's give them all they want. So, amen to that. Hallelujah. I'd rather have peace. Any believer would rather have peace and protection and love and care. But Ishmael would have made fun of him. Oh, you guys got to go to church and you got to do this and you're all cared and you need God to be your shepherd. You're right, man. Absolutely. Ishmael would have mocked him, number four, because Isaac never found his place in this world. Poor old Isaac. Just like his daddy. He was never at home in this world, was he? Not Ishmael. My, Ishmael settled in. He loved this world. He fit in. He would have said to Isaac, you're just a spoil sport at the center. You're a misfit. Hallelujah, I am. I don't fit in nowhere. I'll try to fit all I can to win somebody to Christ, but I don't belong in this world. This world is not my home, and I am just a passing through, and I refuse to like this world. I refuse it. Said, do you enjoy what God gives you? Absolutely. Do you enjoy different things? Sure. But I want to say this to you. Look at Galatians 4. I hope you have at least marked there and you can turn back to it now and then. But he said, as it was, even so it is what? Now. You know what he said you got to do? Verse 30, cast out the bondwoman and her son. That's why you find some different places in your Bible where it says cast down. And cast away. You know what he says about the scorner? Cast out the scorner, and strife and contention shall cease. It's the same way that you have to cast down the imaginations. Now, can you ever get it from within your body? No, but you know what you can do? You can cast it outside of your field. You can cast it outside of your influence. You can cast it outside of your thinking. Victory in Jesus over the persecutor within you and others. Listen, the persecutors and others will persecute. the Isaac in you. I want you to do five things tonight about Ishmael. What are some of the persecutor's works, and how can I identify if it's the persecutor at work? How can I make sure that it's not the work of the Holy Spirit, or it's not the work of God dealing with me, and I can say, I know this is the work of the Ishmael in me, the persecutor that's after my new nature. Number one, he claims right as firstborn. He claims his right as a firstborn. Do you know it's true that you are born into this world as an Ishmael? Right? Ishmael's at least 13 years ahead of Isaac, at least. And it is true that the flesh cries out and says, I was here first! Why, do you know what they probably screamed and hollered when Joshua went into the promised land? The Canaanites probably said, we were here first! We got squatter's rights! And the answer to that is, you got no rights. Because Isaac has come. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit has come in. The Holy Spirit has circumcised your soul from your body, and you are not only an Ishmaelite anymore. You're now a child of God. The flesh will demand precedence. It will show you its birth certificate. It'll tell you why you can't deny me. You'd be denying yourself. Yeah, that's what Jesus said to do, didn't he? Ever thought about that? If any man come after me, he must do what he said. Deny yourself. Does that mean you go around saying, I don't exist? You know what you do? You say, Ishmael, you don't exist, buddy. See, you'd be denying your first birth. You take that firstborn. You know in your Bible, it's never the first. It's always the second one God uses. It's not the first Adam, it's the second Adam. It's not Cain, it's Abel. It's not Esau, it's Jacob. And on and on and on. And the one that you and I, that has a right, is the secondborn. The new birth, amen. But all that old Ishmaelite, he'll... You know what? Well, that's just the way I... That's what, listen, that genetics is not something that God said has to rule you. Okay? Now, if you're born 5'8", you're not going to be 6'10". But that's got nothing to do with your new nature. That's got nothing to do with what you are as a Christian. That's got nothing to do with what you are as a person. That old Ishmaelite, that persecutor, he claims the right as a firstborn, and he's forever trying to get you to look after what? Him. Self. Better be careful. You sure you can trust God? I mean, man, you better watch it. You might end up in the middle of the jungle somewhere eating bugs like that guy did on that thing there. He said, showed a picture of the other night. I watched it. Showed a picture. There's a dog wagging his tail in the picture. The next picture is a plate with food on it, and it's a dog. One thing, it showed a basket of lizards. The next thing you know, it showed them on a plate, cooked. Amen. Self goes, oh, you can't treat me that way. So really, you're dead. So shut up. I'll feed you anything I want to feed you. Amen. Number two, it claims right as the family tree. Not just the firstborn, but the family tree. Ishmael appeals to this Eve birth, this Hagar line, and it goes back to Egypt on her side. Listen, parents, family have said so many times to a Christian, how can you turn your back on us like this? It's because we've only got a Hagar birth in common. Let it sink in, brethren. You're not just turning your back on somebody, you're turning your face towards Christ. You're following, are you listening to me? Listen to me, you're following your family tree. Your family tree is Abraham and Sarah. Your family tree is New Jerusalem, which is above,
amen,
which is the mother of us all. That's your family tree. But Ishmael appeals to this Egyptian. Let's say you got saved parents and a saved child. But the parents listen to the Ishmael inside of them when the child says, God has called me. And Ishmael says, how can that be? We won't see our grandchildren. You say, well, you know, I'm sorry about that, but that's just the Ishmael side we're related on. Maybe what you're going to do is get on your face and pray that while I'm gone, your grandchildren get saved. And then you'll see them in eternity. Or perhaps maybe, and this happens too, you know, the son of the daughter says to the parents, don't you care about us? Don't you want to see the grandchildren? Why are you going? Listen, I know people that have spent their entire life on the mission field, bar a few furloughs, and they've not got to see their grandchildren grow up. They've not got to see their children grow up. They've not got to see nothing, but guess what they're going to have in eternity? A huge reward. And someone goes, oh, that just can't be right. You know who's saying that? You better listen to me. Ishmael is saying that. Ishmael has gone around the world, and Ishmael's gone around America saying, family, 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 family. Now, you know I'm all for family. You know how I am about that. You ought to sit down and eat a meal. You ought to do that thing. But God said His family's first. Do you know what God told Abraham to do with Hagar and Ishmael? He said, boot their backsides out of here.
Amen.
That's God said it. God said it. I didn't say it. Abraham didn't want to do it. He said, well, why would God be... He's not so rough. Ishmael is an Egyptian birth. It's an old nature. So are you telling us... You know I'm not telling you that. Be rude to people. But the new birth is more important. The persecutor within the child or the parent agrees with the persecutor within those, and a battle ensues. Parent says, here's how we dress. The child says, you don't care if I'm embarrassed. That's the Ishmael in that child talking. Y'all nod your heads or something like you're still here. We still got a little ways to go. Hang in there. But you get what I'm trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you, when that stuff happens, the parent's got to go, you know what? You're not running the life, kiddo. You're not in charge, child. You're not in charge, daughter. You're not in charge, son. We're doing it the Isaac way. And I'm going to teach you how to say no to Ishmael. Someone says, don't you love your family? Absolutely. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who must have been the embodiment of love since it says God is love, when His mother and His brothers and sisters came and said, hey, they need you out there, He said, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And He waved His hand and said, they that do the will of God. Now, I'm going to tell you what will happen to you. The Ishmael in somebody else will accuse you, and the Ishmael in you will accuse you, and you think it's two against one. Guess what it is? It's none against one. Because Ishmael don't count. Ishmael's got no truck with God. Ishmael's got no weight with God. Ishmael's a cast out with the bondwoman and her son, it says here, right here. Cast her out. Cast him out. Why? Because he's Ishmael. He's an earthly, sentimental, old, cotton-picking, fleshly Egyptian. Number three, he claims the right of freedom. Not just a firstborn in family tree, but freedom. You know, Abraham did not give Ishmael and the later sons the promised preferred land and the blessing. Get this. He did not give Ishmael and those boys the preferred blessing. The Bible tells you, I read you, Ishmael was a wild man. I'm going to tell you what the spirit of America is today, and it grieves my soul. The spirit of America today is the spirit of Ishmael. Anything goes. I'm the conqueror. I'm in charge. I can do what I want. I want you to do something with me. I want you to stop for a minute long enough to contrast Ishmael with Isaac in chapter 22. Isaac's more than capable of snapping his old man in half if he wanted to. And his old man says, we're going up the mountain, son. Here, carry some of this. And he gets to the top of the mountain. He says, son, I know you're not going to understand this because I don't. But I'm going to bind you and you're going to lay on this altar. And God said, do this. Do you think that Abraham was able to carry that off without Isaac submitting? So let's contrast Isaac with Ishmael. You wonder why I preach so hard against Ishmael? Because he's a rebel. The Ishmael in you is a rebel. You wonder why sometimes I bear down a little bit? Because the Ishmael in you is a wild man. We're born as a wild ass's colt, the Bible says. The persecutor will persecute submitted people. I'm not talking about being submitted to error. I'm not talking about being submitted to carnality. But the persecutor will persecute... I've heard preachers persecute submitted people like it was some big, giant thing to never submit to anybody. But buddy, when they're preaching, they want everybody to submit to them and come to the altar. How about that? Of course, they'll call it the Holy Ghost. Isaac was free. Listen to me. Ishmael was the son of a bondwoman. Who should have had freedom and said, I'm not going up the mountain, Daddy? Isaac. Who should have done what he's told? Ishmael. Who didn't? Ishmael. Who obeyed? Isaac. Great type of Christ. Amen. Ishmael was servant to his craving for independence. And Isaac was free to submit. You'll never be free to submit to God until you tell Isaac, take a hike. Ishmael, sorry, take a hike. Isaac says, I will obey, Father. Ishmael says, look at them. Look at him. Look at that little sissy. He's obeying his parents. Look at, he's doing what they tell him. God's saying, really, Ishmael? See you, bud. You and that Egyptian hit the road. Fourthly and quickly, he claims the right of force to be a fighter. He arms his bow and fires off fiery darts. He shoots accusations at the new nature. This modern day stuff, like that guy Robert Sumner, he spells it without a C, is a bunch of Ishmael stuff. How dare a guy like that, who's obviously being led of his Ishmael nature, and I'm telling you, the guy couldn't preach his way out of a very wet paper bag. Ishmael accused without facing the one they accused. Let me tell you about Ishmael. Ishmael will whisper to somebody, whisper separated chief friends. Ishmael whispers to the Ishmael and somebody else, who whispers to the Ishmael and somebody else, and they're always persecuting Isaac. Mark it down. It's always happening. Because everybody that's saved has got an Ishmael in them. And everybody's got an Isaac in them. You've got an Ishmael that'll listen to Ishmael. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Ishmael never listens to Isaac. Never. Never. Period. Ain't going to happen. Because you have a persecutor inside you. He claims the right of force. He's against every man. The Bible says there that he'll be against all men. And what did he do? He that was born after the flesh, Galatians 4:29, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. And then number five, he claims right as a fruit bearer. Do you know, if your Bible's right, and of course it is, that flesh begets flesh. Right? And spirit begets spirit. Right? We read your verse, Genesis 21:21. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. You know who he fathered? More wild men. Flesh begets flesh. Even in the ministry, brethren. It is easier and it's natural to bear fruit in the flesh. It is easy for someone to think, well, how many you got in church? Well, where'd you go to school? Well, who do you fellowship with? Well, how much Greek do you know? How many meetings you preached last year? Man, nowadays it's even how many children do you have? As if, let me explain something to you. There is nothing supernatural about having children. People have them all the time. They have them in wedlock, they have them out of wedlock. You read your Bible. Some of those guys had 20, 30, 40 of them. It's just a matter of how many wives they had. Hallelujah. You see, there's something about Ishmael that thinks that his fruit bearing, even though it's wild and fleshly and Egyptian, is something. And it's not. Now, does God say bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit in John 15? Absolutely. But what does He say? Without me, you can do nothing. You think God was in what Ishmael did? You think God is in what the old nature does? You think God is in the modern church movement? No! Do we say it because we don't have the same numbers? No! We're saying it because that's Ishmael. You know why? Sometimes, even as a Christian, maybe you do it sometimes, but you hear some of those preachers speak out against something or point against something, and you're like, what is that all about? It's Ishmael, that's what it's about. It's that Egyptian rubbish coming in. I mean, half the music is straight out of Africa anyway. It ain't nothing but African sex music, buddy. Now, here's what I want to encourage you about. Next week, we're going to deal with victory in Jesus as we talk about Him as an imposter. Okay? Tonight, we talked about Him as a persecutor. But the way we're going to get victory over Him is to understand that this persecutor lives his life as an imposter. And he wants you to think that he's okay. And he wants you to think that it's really you. That it's the only you. Because if you ever get wind of the fact that as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, there's an Isaac in you, then this guy's dead. Because if you said, I'm going to be like Isaac, or obey Isaac, or I'm going to obey Ishmael, and you're a born-again Christian, and you want us to love God, it's not even a toss-up, is it? You know what the vote is? Ishmael must go. You get what I'm saying? Ishmael must die. And so when you read your Bible this week, and when you pray over the next few days, and just say, you know, Lord, that's that persecutor inside me doing this. Have you ever noticed that when you want to do right, there's a voice that's all over you? Have you ever noticed when you want to do right, there's a voice from someone else that's all over you? And it can witness to a voice in you. And it can make you feel and doubt what that new nature and that Isaac is all fired up about. And many times, Isaac says, I'm going to submit, Lord. And Ishmael's saying, man, you can't do that. You know why? Because Ishmael knows he's on the way out if you do. He's a dead little ducky. He's lost his influence. He's lost his liberty. He's lost his independence. He's a wild man. He don't want to be chained up. In closing, I thought about what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter on that seashore that day after he'd gone fishing. And he got them to shore and they're eating and he said, Peter, you love me more than these? Could have been pointing to the fish, but I got a suspicion he's pointing to the other disciples. Because the last time they talked like that, he said, though all men forsake thee, I won't. And he went out that night and he denied him. He's saying, Simon, do you really think you love me more than all these guys? He's like, Lord, you know. It's probably not about everybody else, Lord. It's just about me and you. But then you know what he tells him? He tells him that he's going to have a time when he's going to be bound and they're going to carry him whither he would not. And he would have to do what? Joyfully submit. Now that was not Simon Peter, was it? The Ishmael in him. But before it's over with, Acts 12, they got him chained. He's so peaceful, they're supposed to kill him the next day. Or at some point, he's so peaceful, he's so sound asleep, the angel has to smite him. Saying, get up, Simon Peter, I'm getting you out of here. Oh, I didn't think I was getting out. I submitted. Why? That Isaac's at work. Amen. You listen this week. I'm going to pray here in a moment that God will help each of you hear that Ishmael inside you this week. And go, now I know you. You are the persecutor. And every time I want to do right, you're persecuting me. You're telling me it's stupid. Now listen, Ishmael will not help you trust God. Ishmael will not help you rest in God. Ishmael will not help you have faith in God and submit happily and restfully. He'll always doubt God. He'll always have an anger and he'll always angle and he's always ready to fire one of those darts. Because he is the anti-Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I know they're simple thoughts, but I trust, Lord, that the depth of them would just give your people something to meditate upon, review, study a little bit. Lord, I know you gave us this to help us understand how the old flesh works and what's at work. I thank you for your Bible, Lord, how you've taken these words, these English words, you put them in there for us. Lord, it's full of persecution. It's full of persecuting. And Lord, I thank you that you showed us in your book that our old nature, being what it is, wants to literally persecute our new nature, who we are in Christ. God, in the times to come, as we look at this further and we study about getting victory in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, over these things. I pray you'd bear witness now. And Father, I do pray you'd use it this week. And I pray it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.